Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Network. I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and I'm delighted to be joined by the big boys. Vittorio Campanile, Mr. Lazio, must be delighted with the weekend's result. How are you?
Not very happy because of big boys. I mean, I'm still very young. Come on.
I meant big boys in terms of
Good
at what they do. They are the pinnacle.
You're so excited about Arsenal. By the way, my second son said you're winning the Champions, the Premier League. So take care.
I hope so. Never. But there's been some bad injury news today that could derail Arsenal, unfortunately. Also joining us, Tommy Milanese. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. And I'm not going to say that Arsenal's going to win the league. So enjoy that from Vittorio. You're not going to hear it again.
Yeah, definitely not going to hear it from you. Also joining us, Mr. Alessandro, Mr. Roma. You must be pretty happy with what you saw at the weekend as well.
Yeah, was a good point.
Was a reluctant yeah, wasn't it? That was reluctant, slightly.
Yeah.
You wanted more?
No. I'm good. And I'm telling you, I'm really happy about Arteta after watching All or Nothing, so you'll be happy.
Good stuff. I love the way we always somehow go back to Arsenal talk at the start of this show every single time, but it is what it is. Let's get on to some of the football over the weekend, and I guess really there's only one place to start. Let's do things in chronological order. Lazio, Vittorio's beloved Lazio, defeated Inter by 3-1. Vittorio, you were back in Rome. You were in the stadium. I texted Vittorio during the game and he sent me back a picture of the pitch, which was fantastic. Talk to us about the game. How did it go? You must be buzzing.
Well, unfortunately, the pitch at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome is terrible. We have to say that, unfortunately. But even with that, Lazio played probably the best match of the last 2 years or so, especially against a top team like Inter. Apart the first 25 minutes when Inter was really dominating the match, and I was really scared about that, Lazio took control of the match, had 3 huge chances in the first half, then scored with a header with Felipe Anderson. The second half, yes, Inter find the equalizer and had a huge chance with Dumfries just after that. But after that big chance, Lazio again took control of the match and won, I wouldn't say comfortably, but 3-1, it's the right score, I believe, for terrific performance from Lazio. Yeah, I thought probably it's funny because last year as well, Lazio beat Inter 3-1, but this is a completely different match. I thought Lazio improved. You can see Sarri ball for the first time, probably against a big team. and really excited for this match. But unfortunately, tomorrow is the big match. It's the big test for Lazio against Sampdoria.
It is a big test indeed. The Milanese Campanile derby. Tommy, let's come to you. What did you make of that game? I must admit, I mean, looking at the fixture, Lazio at home in front of 52,000 supporters or whatever it was, you can make a case that Lazio win that game. But it's another thing having to go out there and actually get over the line and actually do it against one of the teams that many people fancy for the title, myself included, going into the season. So what did you make of the game? Was there Sarri ball on show, as Vittorio says?
Yeah, it was good to see Lazio actually playing well and getting results. Obviously, the first game, which they won, it was a bit of a weird one because of that red card from the keeper. So we didn't see the real Lazio then. And then in the last game, it was away and it was a fairly boring draw. So this is the first game that we actually get to see the team playing with, you know, in front of their people with a bigger team. So it was great to see. I was happy to see that. It was a very entertaining game. And I thought Inter had it. Like you said, in the first 20 minutes, they were in control of the ball and they were very high on the pitch. And I think something they did very good is they played Gagliardini instead of Çalhanoğlu, which it might seem like a bit of a silly idea because Çalhanoğlu is obviously one of the best players for Inter, but Gagliardini is a very good physical player. And the reason why he played is because he was basically man-marking Milinkovic-Savic for the whole time, which Savic obviously is an incredible player, one of the biggest threat, probably top two threats in Lazio with Immobile. And I think he did it very well. So I think it was a good idea. But except that Milinkovic-Savic, to kind of escape from this man-marking, he dropped position. He kind of got away from his usual position and he almost played as a regista, as we say. So he played a bit deeper than usual to get away from this man marking. And that's how the first goal happened, because he received the ball fairly deep. And I mean, I did an assist from 4 yards and perfectly on Felipe Anderson's head. So yeah, I think it was a good idea from Inter to play that way and to put a man straight on Milinkovic-Savic. Unfortunately, though, he's that kind of player that is good wherever you put him. In his usual position, is obviously lethal. If he drops back, then he can become a great regista. If you put him as a forward, he can become a good forward. So, I mean, he's good everywhere. So it was a good idea, but not good enough, obviously. And after that, the game changed and Lazio was in control. Yes, Inter had one huge chance. And on that, I would also like to point out that Provedel did a very good job in the whole game. He actually came out his box, which is something Lazio fans haven't seen in a while. I'm very happy how they played. It looks very good. And I mean, obviously, you were probably joking about the test with Sampdoria, but, you know, sometimes it's harder to play with a small team than a big team. So we'll have to see how they keep the momentum going.
I wasn't joking. I don't know if Vittorio was joking.
No. Because the problem with Lazio
was a dig, man.
The problem with Lazio in the past 2 years is that we beat Inter and then we lose against Bologna. We beat Milan and then we lose against Verona. So, you know, and last year with Europa League, it happened often. Lazio played Europa League and then lost the weekend later in Serie A. So this is the real test because, you know, you cannot lack of focusing against Inter, but you can lack of concentration after you beat Inter and you play Sampdoria. So that's my biggest concern tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. It is one of those things, isn't it? Like, sometimes teams struggle to get themselves up for the games against the smaller opposition. That's not the way it should be, but it happens so often. And we often sit there scratching our heads as to why the performance 1 week was completely different to the other. Ale, watching on from the other side of Rome, what did you make of the game? Because it must have been painful for you watching Lazio play as well as they did, and particularly the quality of the goals from Luis Alberto and Pedro, and even the Felipe Anderson one, the pass was special.
I'm a football man, Harry, so it cannot be painful watching Milinkovic-Savic playing football. And Vittorio said Lazio improved from the last season. And what's the difference? If you look at the subs, Luis Alberto came in, Pedro came in, Marcos Antonio came in, then quality, more quality. If you can take advantage of the quality of Luis Alberto and Pedro for half an hour on the pitch, they can make the difference in Serie A. So this is what the difference in terms of talking about Inter. Inzaghi overthinks when it's time to face Lazio, and maybe he thinks maybe too much on Lazio. He thinks, okay, I know perfectly this player. Then he changed the strategy, but you cannot stop Milinkovic-Savic. For this reason, 3-1, 3-1. He tried to the week before the games. To me, he tries to train also Lazio and to imagine how they will play. And you cannot do this. You need to focus on your team. Lazio, good quality. I said before we started, and if you give time to Sarri, you enjoy football. And that's it.
Vittorio, following up on Ale's point about sort of Inzaghi maybe sort of paying too much attention to Lazio, maybe overthinking it, overcomplicating it. First of all, do you agree? And second of all, if he does go down that route, this is a very different Lazio in terms of the way they set up, the way they want to play the game, to the one that he managed, is it not?
Yeah, it's a different team. And I don't think that Inzaghi overthought for this match. I thought he's been surprised to see, for example, Lukaku playing that bad, because we didn't talk about Lukaku, but he didn't show up Friday night. He wasn't there. And this Inter is a completely different team without Lukaku. Now he's injured. Now we're going to see what happened without him. But, I mean, Lukaku destroyed Lazio last time he played against us. And this was one of the biggest question marks, one of the biggest concerns I had. Romagnoli canceled Lukaku on Friday. So, you know, I'm not sure that Inzaghi overthought. I thought Inzaghi has been... he was hoping that his best player would perform, and they didn't. So I thought that was the biggest issue. Because, and we saw it last year, Edin Dzeko, it's a great striker, but it's not one that scores a lot of goals, right? He creates chances. He's more than a number 10, a number 9 playing as a number 10. He provides assists. So Inter needs Lukaku to score, and they have already Lautaro Martinez that was very good in the chance he had. So, yeah, I think the biggest disappointment from Inter was Lukaku playing badly, they were so excited about Lukaku playing, and first big match, he didn't show up. This is a concern.
I think on the last show, Marco, who was with us, Tommy, said something along the lines of, it's not been great for Inter so far this season, even though the results were okay. Up until this point, there were kind of signs that it wasn't all working in the way that, that Inzaghi may have been hoping when he went into the season. Have you seen enough yet? I know we're only a few games in, and I always say this, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but have you seen enough to suggest that there are problems at Inter, or that, you know, they need to significantly improve, because, you know, they just haven't got into full flow as of yet?
I stand a bit in the middle of that. I do agree that they haven't been phenomenal. They have picked up 3 points against Lecce in a very weird game that they could have easily drawn. Obviously, they scored in the last minute from a set piece. Then, obviously, Spezia at home was a bit of an easier game, and then now they lost to Lazio. So yeah, obviously, it hasn't been great. That's something that we can all see. But on the other hand, I'm thinking that it's obviously very early in the season. So it's very early to jump to conclusions. And then I think that Inter didn't play so badly. For example, I know that, you know, you can't really talk about what if in football, but they had an incredible chance, Dumfries, 1-1 with the keeper, the header, which was similar, very similar, if not the same as the one that Felipe Anderson bagged. You know, if one goes in, one goes out, you know, it could have been a completely different game. And I would say, oh, Inzaghi is a genius. You know, he won 3-3. He's already first, 2 points ahead of everyone, and you know, and there, you know, so you know, football, that's what football is. It's about very fine lines. So yes, they have not been amazing. They have not dominated every game, only the one with Spezia. There are some issues in it. I still think, just like I said in two episodes ago, that the absence of Ivan Perisic is going to damage him for the season. Someone that can dribble, that can actually go one-on-one with players, will damage them. So there are some problems, but I wouldn't go as far as they must step up, otherwise they're in big trouble, or you know, it's a disaster or anything like that. It's very early, and I think they will find their way back into the race for the league.
We're recording this a couple of days before the transfer window closes. Ali, are you surprised that Inter haven't gone out and done more business? I know they've done business this summer, but I mean, one of the things that we were saying a couple of weeks ago was things could look very, very different by the time the transfer window closes with regards to a couple of problem positions. Or that's what we kind of described them as. Are you surprised that they haven't done more since we last spoke about it?
What surprised me the most, it's they are in talks with Bayer Leverkusen to sell Robin Gosens. I mean, we were expecting them to fill that position with one more player, and now apparently they're selling the other one. So let's see. I'm really curious because I don't understand the strategy going that direction, you know? Yeah, at this point, especially from Inter, I'm surprised.
Yeah, Victoria? I don't know if Alessandro agree with me, but I think there's a lot of confusion inside the club now. They started really strong this summer, you know. We're signing Lukaku, we're getting Dybala, we're going there, one, etc. And then they signed Lukaku and they stopped. They have financial issue. People forget they have financial issue. We know, I mean, if you read about Suning in China, they're really struggling. And they were very close to sign Francesco Acerbi yesterday, but the owner said, no, 2 million euros is too much, which is crazy for a club like Inter. So I fear that, you know, they are struggling. They don't have the budget to sign players. And now they are even forced to sell some players. Like Gosen should be a key player for them after they lost Perisic. So this is a very strange because you started strong, you signed those players, and then suddenly you stopped. And Inzaghi said it, I need a central defender. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's coming because they didn't have the money to sign Acerbi, so I don't think they're going to sign anybody else. If they even sell Gosens, then this doesn't make no sense at all. I can understand they have financial issue, but they should make a statement and say, hey guys, we wanted to win the Scudetto, but we realized we don't have money. UEFA is going to punish us because of that, so we are trying to make more money as possible before the end of the summer transfer, and then in January we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, they also said they also had to sell some of the young players like Casadei to Chelsea for 15 million. I don't think they would have sold it if they'd been in a good, you know, obviously, it's one of the most exciting midfielders, Italian midfielders in the youth league at the moment. I don't think they would have sold it if they were in a good position, but I don't think Gosens would go. There's no way they can allow that. There's no way they can play the whole season with only Di Marco as a left wing back, especially playing with 3-5-2. That's a very important position. Yeah. I know you can kind of put Darmian over there as well, but then you're missing one on the other side. You absolutely cannot face a whole season with three wings backs between left and right. Absolutely not.
Well, if that was to happen, go on.
I think Lukaku changed the whole plan because they meant to sign Dybala and Bremer, but with Lukaku, basically, they reached the salary cap, basically. Yeah. And so they couldn't sign because an important salary for Lukaku. Obviously, they signed Mkhitaryan as free agent with an important salary. So now they cannot fill. It's weird because Marotta a few weeks ago said, okay, yeah, we need a center defender and for sure we will sign him. But Bremer, then Milenkovic, signed a new agreement with Fiorentina, then Acerbi. If you miss Acerbi, I mean, Lazio doesn't want him. Vittorio, correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
Lazio doesn't want him. You can sign him. If you don't sign Acerbi, who else?
Yeah, yeah, if you're struggling, as Vittorio said, to bring Acerbi in for 2 million euros, then it says that there are serious problems, doesn't it? It sets the alarm bells ringing. And it must be really frustrating for Simone Inzaghi because ultimately he would have moved from Lazio to Inter to try and win the Scudetto. That would have been his thing. And obviously he had a crack at it last season. He didn't manage it. But this time he's having his hands tied behind his back. And that must be really, really difficult to take.
He came to Inter knowing the situation, right? Because Conte left because of that. So
yeah, but was it that bad then? Because we knew that they were selling players, but was it as it is now, the point where they cannot sign a 2 million euro centre-back?
Well, last year it should have been worse than this. I mean, they lost Lukaku, they lost Hakimi. I mean, they lost important players. So Inzaghi knew the situation. The problem is, if you lose Gosens today, 30 of August, you don't have time to replace him, right? So this is the problem. And I believe that even if they lose Gosens, they won't be the favorite anymore, but they still can fight for the title, I believe. Not as a favorite, because Milan is signing players. Napoli is a good team, even though I want to test it against big team because they didn't convince me against Fiorentina. But, you know, Juventus didn't convince me, Roma as well. So I think they can be in the title race, even like that.
Good stuff. Let's move on then. Let's talk Juve-Roma. It ended in a 1-1 draw. Perfect start for Juve. After 2 minutes, Dusan Vlahovic put them in front. We were talking last week about how Vlahovic needed to step it up a little bit, how, you know, it was partly down to Allegri's tactics and the way that Juve were playing that he wasn't necessarily thriving, but he got off to a great start. You must have felt awful at that point, Ale. 2 minutes in, you'd spoken about how Juve always tend to beat Roma, but Roma rallied and got their point in the end.
Yeah, for this reason, I'm happy, despite the performance, because usually when we start and we are down 1-0 after 2 minutes in Turin, it ends 4-0, you know? You don't have chance to bounce back. So we were lucky, but I get this point. For the rest, I mean, Mourinho said it all, no? He said it was a shame to train the team in the first half. For once, I can say we got the maximum with the minimum effort, and is important. A draw in Turin is always important. Then I hope we can improve the other stuff, because we need a work to do.
What specifically needs improving, in your opinion? What was it that you saw in that Roma performance that wasn't up to the level you need it to be?
I would say the attitude. No, it was a bit like the last season when Roma faced big, or we want to say bigger team. They're in trouble in terms of performance, in terms of attitude, except for the derby last season. Roma always were in trouble against direct rivals. So I hope to see more personality in the next big matches.
Tommy, what did you make of Juve versus Roma? Tammy Abraham got the equaliser just over 20 minutes from time. Would you say it was a deserved point from Roma? Because they'll be the happier of the two sides, undoubtedly, with the game having taken place at Juventus Stadium.
Well, I think is not in doubt that Juventus had the control of the game for most of the game, if not the whole game. It is also true that Roma had, if you look at the stats, in terms of XG, so expected goals, they had a very similar stat. But Juventus definitely had the control of the game. And I like the approach they had compared to what they did with Sampdoria. One big difference tactically, which I really appreciated from Allegri, is the change of centre-back. With Sampdoria, they had Bremer and Rugani, and they really struggled to get the ball out from the back. Rugani is not gifted particularly well with his feet, while Danilo, which is the one who played with Bremer, as a centre-back, left centre-back, more than one occasions managed to do some vertical passes to break the team. And that really made a difference to me, because that means that the midfielders like Locatelli were able to get into the match much more, And if they were in the match much more, then the whole team was playing better. And another player like Miretti, which is one of a midfielder from the youth, had the space and the freedom to kind of go forward. And I think it was one of the most interesting tactics that they had. Roma really defended really. They were lucky with that second goal. They got ruled out because obviously Vlahovic touched with his hand, but it was a great play from Juventus, which they were pressing very high. In that occasion, they recovered the ball in the last third of the pitch, and they managed to score another goal. And if that would have counted, then it would have been a very different game 2-0. So I think Roma was a bit lucky. I think Juventus deserved to win. Roma also had the chances to win it in the end. They had a goal saved on the line. But it was a good game. I do agree that Roma needs to step up for the next games against the biggest teams. And the last thing I'm going to say is that I really thought, watching the game, that Roma was missing a player like Zaniolo. Someone strong physically like him that can take the ball and bring it up the pitch. Roma was really missing it. And also when Zaniolo plays, it means that Pellegrini can be a bit deeper and it can be a bit of the filter between midfield and the strikers, which is something that they missed as well, I thought, in that game. Because I feel like the midfielder and the strikers were a bit isolated. There wasn't really a link in between them. And that's what Pellegrini can do when a player like Zaniolo is on the pitch. So, I think with Zaniolo on the pitch, it would have been a different game. But this is what I think.
Vittorio, what were your takeaways from this one?
Very boring match, can we say it? Because, I mean, Juve dominated in the first half. I don't remember a good save of Rui Patricio.
I love that. I tried to do tactically talks and stuff. And
let's be honest. Lazio-Inter was going like double speed than Juve-Roma, and Juve dominated in the first half. Rui Patricio made one save on a free kick close to the penalty box where Cadrado was silly enough to kick it on the side of Rui Patricio. That's it. I mean, if you dominate 60 minutes and you create one chance, then there's an issue. Same thing in the second half where Roma took control of the match. Szczesny didn't do nothing. This is a big issue for both teams. Even watching Fiorentina-Napoli yesterday, both teams was going faster than Juventus and Roma. You have Pellegrini and Dybala. I don't think you should play counter-attack football. You should try to make them play mobile. Abraham didn't touch a ball in the first half. Vlahovic in the second half didn't touch the ball once. You don't remember a ball touch from Vlahovic in the second half on that match. That's not acceptable. We are not talking about Cremonese or Monza. We are talking about Juventus and Roma. So for me, yes, Juventus played better. I thought Roma in the second half could have won that match if Mourinho doesn't take off a striker and put a defender. But I think they have to step up, both teams.
That's just so Mourinho, though, wasn't it? To take off an attacking threat and look to shut up shop. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the season, you'll look back on that result as Roma, Ale, and say a draw away to Juventus is no disgrace. It's a good point, even if you will feel like maybe they had the chances at the end and maybe they could have done something differently in order to give themselves a greater chance of nicking it. But it's a good result. I mean, 7 points from the first three games, Ale, you couldn't have asked for an awful lot more given Juventus away was one of the fixtures.
I take 7 points. I take it all.
They also played.
They don't have Dybala. They don't have Pogba and Di Maria. I mean, it's not this great Juventus. Let's be honest. I mean, yes, it's named Juventus, but come on. I mean, Rabiot was the best player on the pitch. I mean, Rabiot.
Yeah, but I also would love to play the game with Wijnaldum and Zaniolo.
Yeah, of course.
That's a fair point.
They are really important to Roma. So, I hope we can play with the full squad in Roma.
Well, I think it regardless from the injuries, it's a point that both teams will take. I mean, maybe Juventus at home will want to win, obviously, but given they're not in the best. They're not in the great form, then I guess they'll probably take a point in a way. Roma will take a point away Juventus. But Roma has been better than to you know, they play the first two games against smaller teams and they managed to win both games, keeping a clean sheet and creating lots of chances. Well, Juventus didn't, with, you know, they drew with Sampdoria and playing very badly, and we talked about that in at length. So I mean, I think, yeah, I think it's a point they should probably both take in you know, in this, in the moment they are.
Yeah, that was the point. Like, I know when I said that about Roma, you guys were saying, look who they've played in the first two games. I totally get that. But what I'm trying to say is you can't be critical of a side who have picked up the points that you expect them to pick up. Like, to go away to Juventus to get a point is probably more than you'd expect Roma to get. Really, if you're being honest, you would have put that down as a Juve win. I know it's not the Juve that we've seen over the years, Vittorio. I get all of that. But it's still a way to...
As I said last week, we usually go there and we lose. So,
yeah
but I don't think it should be... I don't think people should be disappointed at Roma or over the moon. But what I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I was a Roma fan this season with the signings they made, I would want them to see stepping up a little bit from last season. I wanted maybe not to challenge for the title, but to be up there, I would like to see them playing against big teams a bit more attacking, you know, trying to dominate the ball a bit more rather than the, I would say, typical Mourinho games where you kind of defend mostly, and then like you guys said at the end, he took off a strike for a defender. It means you don't, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's still early in the league, and like we all said, you can take a point at Juventus, you can be happy with it, you can still win the league, you know, drawing for Juventus. If you're Milan or Inter, you still take a point against Juventus away, but at the same time, I would want them to see them a bit more, you know, attacking a bit more.
Yeah, but for example, if you today tell me you'll finish out of the top four, but at the end of the season you'll win the Europa League, I'll sign today, right now. Give me the paper, pen and paper, hurry.
So are you saying then that there's an acceptance at Roma that Mourinho is a cup manager, and so your expectations in the Serie A are not going to exceed what maybe they did last season as a result of that?
No. I hope to improve, obviously, what we have done last season. But we all know the Mourinho mentality.
I mean, it's tougher to win the Europa League than the Serie A.
I know.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
Vittorio, would you sign?
Oh, with blood. I'll give you my blood today. Okay. And blood to the Europa League.
Okay, we agree.
I'll give you an eighth, if you want.
I don't know, but if you finish eighth, by, you know, when you sign Dybala, Wijnaldum, I know, bless him, he's been injured and he's not going to play much. But if you made these big signings and you have a, you know, a world-class manager like Mourinho, like, if you can't finish outside top four. I mean, yeah. To me, it's a disappointment. Yes, if you win the cup, is a great joy. It will bring you to the Champions League, of course, for a different way. But I don't know. Of course, I'd be happy for the cup, but I wouldn't be happy in general, I think. I wouldn't be confident for next season.
Alessandro, what do you thought about the performance of Dybala against Juventus?
He needs to improve, no?
I mean, he did nothing except the assist, right? And to Ash, I mean, this is what he did. Nothing except the assist. I think from Dybala, you expect much more, right?
I guess we'll have to give him time. A bit more time as well.
I think he needs a bit more of time to...
To
get in a better
team. He never played there.
Well, he plays very, you know, in this Roma side is completely different than the Juventus side he's been playing the last few years, isn't it? He was playing more of a kind of striker or behind the striker. Well, this now he has to play, in, you know, together with either Pellegrini or Zaniolo behind the striker with a different, completely different field. I think it takes a bit of, I mean, he's a phenomenal player, but even Messi at PSG, we saw, you know, he didn't just come in and bang the hat tricks every game, you know. It takes time. Vittorio's not sure. I see it from his face. He's not.
No, John Vittorio, tell us what you think about Dybala's performance.
I thought Roma fans should thank me, because before the corner, I said, Dybala and Abraham didn't do nothing and they scored. So, guys, thank me, because it all thanks to me. But that's the truth, right? Dybala didn't do nothing. I thought Pellegrini played much, much, much better than Dybala, and I like Pellegrini a lot. From Dybala,
Pellegrini is phenomenal.
From Dybala, you should expect much more. And I'm concerned because it's not that he's come from, I don't know, the MLS, he has to adapt to Italian football. He's been playing in Serie A all his life. Allegri's football is not very different from Mourinho. It's not that you're passing from Sarri ball to Allegri ball. So I don't know if his physical condition is not very good. I don't know if there's something else, but Cremonese, they played against Salernitana and Cremonese, and Dybala didn't do nothing. I would have been concerned a little bit about that, but, you know, that's my point.
Yeah, interesting stuff. It really is, because I feel like we're kind of at this point in the season, we're giving him a bit of a grace period. We're looking at it and we're saying, we've seen over the years.
I say the same thing about Vlahovic. What did he do? First half, he scored, then he had a little bit of discussion with Ibanez, etc. Second half, he didn't show up. He didn't do nothing. He wasn't there. I mean, Vlahovic, 70 million euros. Can we blame Allegri for that? I don't think so, right? Top match, you have to show and do something. He didn't do nothing in the second half.
But he's contributed to the outcome of the game, though, hasn't he?
Yes, but in the first minute of the match.
I mean, Vittorio, if we look at the Manchester City stats, Erling Haaland was the last in the pitch for both touches. So what should we say?
Yeah, in the game against, was it Bournemouth, the one 4-0? He didn't really touch it.
Yeah, it's... I was going to use the Haaland example. I think he had 8 or 9 touches in one of the games. And he contributed to the game by producing outcomes. And that's ultimately, I guess, what the striker's job is. Obviously, you'd like to have him much more involved where possible. But if he's giving you those contributions, then you kind of just have to... You have to accept that the performance needs to improve, of course. But I don't know that you can really go in too hard on a player that's still producing goals. I want to talk a little bit about Fiorentina-Napoli because I jinxed this game. A friend of mine texted me in the daytime and he said, Fiorentina-Napoli, what do you think? Is it worth a watch? And I said, 100% yes. This is going to be a great game. You should definitely watch this. You'll really enjoy it. And it was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. Tommy, what did you make of the game overall? Obviously, Fiorentina, I don't think, will be too disappointed with the point. Napoli, having been really effective in the first few games, would have felt that they probably should have won this. And they just, I don't know, it didn't click, did it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I did not watch the game. But I did, obviously, did check the highlights and I read about it. Yeah, it looked like a very boring game. It looked like there was a lot of expectations on Napoli to score loads of goals, maybe concede some like they've been doing. And even a player like Kvara, which, you know, he had huge expectations on him after the first two games. He kind of got a little bit frustrated with the ball. And I mean, the new right back from Fiorentina, Dodò, he played very well. He's a player that was a bit of a question mark. Because Fiorentina in the last few years got a few players like that, like Oyarzabal last season with the high expectations, and then didn't really fit. This Dodò came from a lower league, so you wouldn't know how he would adapt. And against a player like Carastelia, he really stepped up, and he was probably the biggest reason why Napoli didn't score a goal, because we saw from the first two games that a lot of goals came from that left hand side. Either he scored them or he kind of created or started the play. So yeah, he got quite frustrated on the ball. He really couldn't go past him, and that was a big team. But then yeah, it's been both teams were very good defensively. I thought Kim was very good as well, to kind of nullify Jovic. But yeah, so I mean, I agree with you. I expected definitely an over 2.5, talking in betting terms, but yeah, disappointed. But I feel like these two teams will definitely produce great games in the next few. But just not this one against each other.
Vittorio, I was looking at the stats just now while Tommy was talking. One clear-cut chance went Napoli's way. It just tells the story of the game, doesn't it?
Well, I don't remember by heart, but I think Fiorentina beat Napoli last year as well. Italiano knows how to create issue to Spalletti. And we have to say that Fiorentina played much better, and dominated Napoli, at least for the first 75 minutes. So Napoli really struggled in that match, and Fiorentina was playing such high speed that it was hard to stop them. I think what we saw was missing is the quality. Fiorentina midfield, very speedy, fast, physical, but Amrabat is not a playmaker. They don't have a player that is very fast moving the ball. That was why Fiorentina struggled to find the way to score. Jovic didn't show up. Napoli marked him really, really well. But Fiorentina played very, very fast. And Napoli, this was the first time that I saw them suffer. They weren't able to stop Fiorentina midfield. And, you know, that's why I'm a little bit concerned about Napoli, because the first two matches they played against lower team and they overachieved. Against Fiorentina, I didn't expect to see Napoli struggling that much. And we have to say something. In the second half, when Politano and Frattesi came in, Napoli took control of the match. And maybe Spalletti should have changed the starting 11 and give them the chance to start. Because when they came in, Napoli finally get a chance. Who was it? Lozano missed an unbelievable chance with his header. That would have changed the match, and probably Napoli.
Lozano either.
So, but first 75 minutes, Fiorentina played much better, but they lack of quality. I think the problem with Fiorentina this year is they don't have the quality to beat this top team.
They did buy Baracca, which played from the first minute, but obviously was there only for a day, so you can't really have expectations in him. But I do think that over the long term, he might kind of overcome that a little bit. Did you think?
And he had the biggest chance Fiorentina had that day. Yeah. So you can see that he's trying to learn a little bit, but just arrived too early for him.
The thing with Fiorentina, they have a lot of players and Italiano loves to rotate them a lot. So you never know what to expect when you face Fiorentina. You know they have an identity, and probably, despite the lack of quality, if there was a team that deserved the win, was Fiorentina probably. Even though Napoli had the big chance in the game with Lozano. But...
Go ahead.
It's not easy. When you look at a season and you get... It's another important point to me, the one Napoli got. Because when you are away at Fiorentina, it's not easy to get 3 points, you know?
Yeah, I'll take a point to Fiorentina, any team of this area.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was just going to say. That, again, it's a bit like the game that we were talking about just previously there, that in that there will be frustrations when you come away from it. There will be a part of you that thinks we should have done better, we could have done more, and we could have taken all 3 points. But again, at the moment, because it's so early in the season, you know, one draw, one defeat can put you in a completely different place in the table, and then you look at it totally differently because those movements are so big at this stage. But as I say, I think you guys are right in saying that it will be a decent point for Napoli when they look back at it a little bit later. And I mean, this was really their first test, wasn't it? This was really the first game this season where we got to see them go up against it a little bit at times. Vittorio, I'll come to you first on Milan. Routine win, really, wasn't it, at home against Bologna. Rafael Leao and Olivier Giroud with the goals. I expected them to win this. They did win this. Any significant takeaways from watching Milan in action?
Well, they play very well, and Bologna is not an easy team to play against. Mihajlovic is a great manager, especially when they have to defend. And again, you know, it's good to see Milan playing. I mean, we mentioned Inter. They're signing a lot of players. They're playing quite well. If they find the confidence like last year, they can really go this time and win again the title. I'm changing my idea, seeing that Inter is not signing any player. Leao is a terrific player when he has pace. He can be a very important player for AC Milan. Giroud, again, keeps scoring. So, you know, a convincing performance. De Ketelaere starting finally, which was something I wanted to see in this match. So, you know, they have young talent Bologna could be a tricky match, and they passed the test very well. So, positive sign again.
Tommy, I really enjoyed Olivier Giroud's goal. It was a nice goal, wasn't it?
Giroud got us used to these goals, didn't it? Like, from his time at Arsenal, Chelsea, and now Milan. He's that kind of player that can, you know, get the bunny off the hat, as we say in Italy. So it's a good sign for Milan to see that he's still got those, and to know that you have on the pitch a player that can, you know, create a goal from a difficult situation. So that was very good. And yeah, another few words on De Ketelaere. I'm a big fan of him, as Alessio. And I think it was great. He came on, he showed pace, he showed dribbling, he showed physicality. He did a great assist to Kalulu, which missed 1-1 with the keeper. I think it was a great debut. And I mean, today already he's not starting because I think Pioli wants him fresh and ready for the derby with Milan, with the Inter. And it's a great sign if you already trust him that much. So I think he'll be a very special player for the season.
Indeed. There is a round of midweek fixtures as well. In fact, Milan are in action right now at the time of recording. They are currently away to Sassuolo. It's goalless at the moment, again, at the time of recording.
Saved the penalty, by the way.
Yeah, really? Magnan saved the penalty.
Yeah. Wow.
And wow. I have Berardi's fantasy football.
No. That's why your face dropped. I saw it.
But obviously, the rest of the games, I would say, for the big sides anyway, you know, Inter at home to Cremonese, that one's later today. Roma, Ale are at home to Monza. That's a game that they should win as well. Lazio go away to Sampdoria. I'm sorry, Tommy, I don't particularly rate Sampdoria, if I'm being honest. But Vittorio expressed some concerns about this fixture because of the fact that, you know, you have this high against Inter, and Lazio have traditionally struggled to then kind of take that on and build on that. As a Sampdoria man, Tommy, do you have any hope that Sampdoria can get something out of this game? That one, of course, takes place tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, if I have to pick a winner, I would obviously choose Lazio, clearly. But I Sampdoria is a weird team. It's like many other small teams. Unfortunately, we are in that bracket now. You know, like many other teams, you could pull out a great performance against a big team and a very bad performance against a small team like we did at the weekend against Salernitana. And the biggest example is the Juventus game. Obviously, Juventus, we spoke at length that they weren't particularly brilliant, but at the same time, Sampdoria was, I thought they were very good. Colley, especially at centre-back, it was amazing on Vlahovic. And the whole team, really, they defend as a team and they kind of stay behind the ball and even had a couple of chances on the counter-attack. So I think they're probably going to do the same. I think Lazio is potentially a better team than Juventus playing against these kind of teams. So, yeah, again, if I have to pick a winner, I think it would be Lazio. But at the same time, I'm not ruling out a defensive performance that might bring a point.
Vittorio, are you expecting Luis Alberto and Pedro to maybe get a nod from the start this time?
Luis Alberto, I think so, because he deserves it. And I think against Sampdoria, he will. Pedro, I'm not sure because he didn't train yesterday. He trained this morning, so I don't know if he's 100% fit. But I think Luis Alberto deserves it. And I think Sampdoria is the perfect team for him to start because it's a team where Luis Alberto can play and perform as well as he can. So, yeah, I think Luis Alberto could start, even remembering that Saturday we play against Napoli. So I think a little bit of changes, Sarri has to do it because otherwise against Napoli we'll struggle.
Yeah, for sure. Ale, I mentioned Roma against Monza. Expectations are that you take 3 points, right?
Yeah, if I get 1 point to Torino away, I expect 3 points with Monza at home. So, yeah, and I expect finally the Dybala first goal with Roma jersey.
Are we going to see more than one goal, Ale, or 1-0? Just asking for a friend.
Don't expect too many goals.
Okay.
Juventus take on Spezia at home. Again, a game that I expect them to win. And Napoli are at home to Lecce. So that's kind of the big ones from the midweek round of fixtures. Maybe we'll do an episode later on in the week if the guys are available to look back at those games and look ahead to the weekend's ones. We'll definitely try and do something there because there's a whole nother round of fixtures to break down. It'd be wrong of us to ignore that. But I think we've come to the end of this edition of Simply Serie A. Is there anything that anybody wants to add? Any other business, as they say? No.
Okay. You should sign Leao, Harry, and give him the jersey number 14 at Arsenal.
No,
he can't have it. It belongs to Eddie Nketiah. Arsenal need to maybe get busy if possible in the transfer market. But as we say, transfer window is closing, and I guess it probably is worth doing a show later in the week because we can discuss some of the late deals that go through as well. So lots and lots to keep across, but we're going to leave it there for now. Big thank you to Vittorio, to Tommy, to Ale. You can find all of their social media handles in the description below. Make sure you give them a follow. Make sure you subscribe to their various channels as well. And we'll be back next time with some more Serie A talk. Until then, take care of yourselves and stay safe. All the best.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.